Good evening. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. And we got a heck of a show, fun show for you tonight. I think you're going to enjoy this. I always like talking to young people, and this works out perfectly because some of the decisions we've seen come down from on high, or not to sit. Well, I guess it's a court case. We're going to talk about Biden and the court case. We're going to see if we can get this to pass on the social media, if they're still censoring us. I'll tell you, here's the deal. Also, Bill London will be here tonight with your news, give you a bunch of news from around the country and also in Oregon. And here's the deal. What a lot of people don't understand is the throttling of censorship is still going on. I wrote a couple of pieces and I posted some things on Facebook and Instagram. On one of the Instagram pages, it got 32,000, reached 32,000 people. Then I write something specifically controversial about that mentions anything that I'm about to mention, and I get throttled back to like 500 people. So I have other channels that I go through because this is my business, and I know how to do it. But the bottom line is that's how much they're throttling me still. When I get 32,000 people reached on just one post for something, and then on something that has any measure of controversy, if I don't mess with it, that's what they do to it. So it's still going on. But we're going to talk a little bit about that decision by a district court judge. Huge. And anybody who doesn't think this is huge, you voted for the wrong person. And you're feeling bad, but you're not feeling yet. But it's there was enough evidence to tell the Biden administration to stop having your daily meetings with the social media gods because you're censoring information, and you did during the pandemic, and you wouldn't let anything else come out. I heard an interview with Jay Basarab, I can't say his last name, a doctor who was bludgeoned by these people from Stanford. I had him actually on the show early on in the pandemic. And he was very much warning people that this is not what it seems. And he was on the radio today going, this is a great moment. So for freedom in America, this is what we are looking for. Are we going to get an apology? Yeah. All those people who lost their jobs, gave up their careers. All those people who were forced to do things they didn't want to do during that time. What do you say to them? What? You only got one side of the story. As a news guy, that is to me and should be to every news person out there. That should be your number one priority. Not that you judge what the news is or who said what, or you don't get to go, that's too radical, you don't put it on there. You let the people decide. You put the information out and you let the people decide. And had they done it this time, I bet you we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now, economically and health-wise for people. And if you're still buying into the other things, you're not looking at the information. And you have to sit there and say, wait a minute, I was calling Rick and all these other people names, and now it turns out that they were right. Not about their information, but right that there was other information, and you ignored it. Yeah. Dan, I understand. Dan's saying he's off. Anyway, so we have a young man coming on who stood up to the school and said, I'm not going to do this because this doesn't make any sense. And he's going to join us in just a second. We also want to thank our sponsors, Fairway Independent Mortgage Company right here in Montana, one of our great sponsors. And we want to thank them for everything they do. Greg Hinkle is the man. And if you need any kind of mortgage work, he's a lender. Get a hold of him. I will throw up his number in a little while. Also, we have Cristiano Family Dentistry, Alvard Taylor, Endless Possibilities, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, and the folks at BS Free MD will be here in a little bit to chat with us. And again, I said Bill London will be here. So let's get to Dorian right away. Hey, Dorian, how you doing, man?
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Hey, good. So you're my buddy from Eugene, Springfield, Oregon. You came on my show. Tell people what the story was back then so people are kind of caught up to where we are.
Yeah, so actually I sent you an email because I was watching it. I was really getting into your show. And I was like, hey, what's your opinion on this? And instead you wrote back and were like, I'm interested in what you think. And so then we just kind of kept talking, and you're like, hey, you want to meet up for coffee someday? And then that's how everything kind of started. So that was, and that was really important for me at that time, because I kind of felt like no one at school was listening to me. Obviously my parents were supporting me, but it's like, I didn't have other people being like, hey, you know, you actually have some common sense. You're not alone in this world. So it came in at the right time.
Cause you ended up, and we won't say what school, cause it, that's not, we're not, we love the school. It's not the point. It's not the school. It was the policy of the school. But anyway, you had to leave school because you weren't going to wear a mask and you weren't going to get the vax or anything like that.
Yeah. So that was back in 2021. That was my sophomore year. And I was like, so we had switched, we had transitioned from going online to in person. And I was like, okay, I just want to be at school. I'll wear the mask. Cause you have to wear it everywhere else, Safeway, all these other companies, you know? So I was like, okay, but I'm not doing this for too long. I started getting really sick of it. And I was like, okay, can I get a medical exemption? Can I get a religious exemption? Anything and everything. They denied it. And I was like, okay, why? This doesn't make any sense. And they're like, yeah, but it's an order from the governor, so we have to follow it. Even though me and my dad made a packet actually listing out like laws and amendments that they were breaking, and they just didn't care. They're like, the governor says so I'm gonna do it. And it just,
well, they were really taking the easy way out. Because did you notice this during this whole time that you and I, people like us, were asked, explain your information, where's your documentation? But when you gave it to them, the answer you got, well, but if you just would abide by the rules, everything will go away and it'll be fine. So that's not documentation,
right?
Or pointing to the CDC website that kept changing. One day masks are good, one day they're not good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, so all your documentation changes, and you and your dad are, you're smart guys, and you did the research and you take this in, and here's educators going, but grandma said.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like, and we continued fighting with the district because I wanted to go back. So it was like over the whole summer, we sent like complaints and they're just like, no, it's not happening. So I had to drop out. And then kind of how I came back was I thought I was just going to be a high school dropout. I was going to work towards my GED, but then that didn't really happen. But since my school is a little bit special, they do terms differently. And so you're able to get extra credit. And I was able to slip in at the end of my junior year, get the right credits I needed. And then my whole senior year was like just jam packed. And I graduated just on time with only an extra like half credit, I think. And then I was able to speak at my graduation. I had like a really great senior year, but for that, like, I would say 8 months, I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think I was ever going to graduate.
So when you look back at all this and what you did and what you went through and other people went through, what do you think? How old are you? 18, 19?
I'll be 18 in a week.
So you're 18 years old, basically. I'd love to get perspective because you're a little different than a lot of 18-year-olds. What do you notice that other kids didn't understand that you thought you did?
I think it's just the fact that everyone, I think, takes for granted what we really have, the freedom we have, until it's like, you know, encroached on, and people are like, well, I don't like this. I know there are a lot of people like, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to do all this stuff. But they're like, well, we just have to, because it's, they think that they're like obligated legally to do this stuff. Otherwise, you know, they could get in trouble. And it's like, no, if you actually if you look into things, the governor does not have the power to make these mandates. She does not have this power. But then everyone like continues to spout misinformation about it. Like, well, in a state of emergency, and it's just like, that's not how it works. And so if people would like take a break from what CNN is saying and all these other news places were saying, and just actually like look at our Constitution, the United States Constitution, the Oregon Constitution, read up on the laws, you'd actually see that no one has the right to make a medical decision for you. No one can tell me that I have to get vaccinated. I mean, they can try to tell me, but I'm not legally obligated to do it. I don't have to wear a mask. And I think kids just are like, well, we just have to do what they say. And the sad part is a lot of kids nowadays kind of adopt that liberal mindset because they follow the people they follow spout that information. They're like, okay, well, everyone else agrees with this. It must mean they're right. And I found it to be the opposite.
How shocking is that to you? Because as a 17-year-old kid, anything that authority said to me that I thought I was going to question and ask and go, I mean, there used to be bumper stickers on cars in Eugene and Springfield, Oregon that said, question authority, kill your television. Now that was adopted by many people in the area as, well, that's it. You know, it'll just, we just have to do this for each other. If you cared about people, you'll do what they tell you to do. Not what the people tell you to do, but what the government tells you to do.
Right. Yeah. Is that kind of that whole hippie, like maybe even a little bit early punk movement. It's just like, it's all about what I want to do and my freedoms as an American. And I would say in that sense, back then I would have been more liberal, but it's just like nowadays, that's not every, like the left is very much so listen to the government. They're dependent on the government. And that's the key, I think, because it's like, if they weren't dependent on them, then they wouldn't really care what they say as much. But as soon as they're like, the government's like, well, okay, now we're starting to take away like your job, you don't have money, now you have to rely on us for food stamps or whatever, you know, the stimulus checks. And so it's just like, you create a society of people that are dependent on the government and you have chaos. And then people try to rebuild. And it's like, there's people at the time like, no, we should not be doing this. And they're just like, well, I'm not going to listen to you because you're not important to me. I don't know. It's just like, to me, that's frustrating. It's like, you try to inform people, but everyone goes at it on their own pace. And you kind of just have to let it be like that. You can fight for what you believe in, but it's, you can only do so much. But yeah. I think it's really frustrating just as a teen, just being like, you try to talk to your peers and they're like, oh, you're just dumb. I mean, for thinking for myself, it's like, you know, they're calling me dumb when they just don't question what authority tells them. It's like, you know, there are some people that I can respect in the authority position, but like, you know, you have to actually prove that you're trustworthy and that you actually have the interests of people at heart. So it's like, in that case, it's like when the authority does not care about you and as much as they may claim, you have to live on your own. And that's the American spirit. It's like, you know, so that's, I mean, that's just how I was raised. And it's like, I'm not going to back down. I don't care if it doesn't make sense and it's, you know, it's illegal. And even if it was, you know, quote unquote legal, but morally it's not okay, then I'm not doing it. Civil disobedience. It's like, that's important. Hey, there we go.
Okay. Are you back? I'm back.
I just entertained them for a minute. Okay, I kept talking.
Oh, hold on. You guys, we're in Montana in a storm, and it is thundering and lightning like you would not. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, it's thundering and lightning, and all of a sudden there was like the rain was coming down, and you went away first, and then I went away. So anyway.
Someone's trying to stop us here. I don't know who it is. But
I think something is trying to stop us here. Marion says, you're a wise young man, Darian. Stay strong in what you believe.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And so, okay, so I don't have any of my ads on here, and it is starting to pick up again. So we'll see if we're going to make this. It's the Wi-Fi connection probably to our tower next door. This is how Montana happens. I'm just going to thank my sponsors, and let's just you and I have a conversation, and we'll just kind of hope that they're fine with that, okay? It's just you and me. So anyway, you guys, Darian has been talking. Hopefully you guys can catch up with the little spot that was there. I don't know how long yet, saying we were still going, so we'll probably lose some people than that thing. But you are ahead of the curve when you have brains. Oh, here, Darla, you're ahead of the curve when you have brains to think before believing what people want you to believe. Are you surprised how quickly people just like out of fear? Like, tell me about your perception of fear now, Darian, after watching this happen to your friends and people around you.
I mean, I think people have the wrong kind of fear, first of all, in fearing earthly powers, because it's like everyone's imperfect. So it's like, how are you to have, I mean, you can have rulers that are imperfect, but they have to follow the higher power. And so it's just like, you have to, if they don't have their morality in check, then they're just going to, you know, tell people to do whatever they want, whatever they think is right, whatever they feel is right. And so I think people who lack the fear of God just go ahead and decide, well, I'll just trust what the government says. And then they start to get scared when the government does things they don't like. And it's like, you know, you wonder why. It's like, okay, well, that's why. I don't know if that really answered your question, but.
No, I think it does. I think it does. What is a healthy fear?
I think it's, gosh, I don't know. That's a tricky one for me. Go ahead.
I think, you know, like for me, the fear of God.
Yeah.
We're going to have this conversation. We don't know who's listening, and it doesn't really matter because this is what we're going to talk about. You know, when you fear the government more than you fear God, you're in big trouble.
Right. Okay. Well, I was going to say, it's just, you know, because the thing is, like, God can do what he wants. It's his universe. And so you should fear the punishment from him because, I mean, whatever. Like, okay, you could have a pretty bad life here on Earth because of earthly leaders or just people being bad. But when you go and die, it's like, okay, you have your eternity after you. And so it's like that to me is the fear that drives me to a good place. It's like, okay, I'm going to try to uphold what God wants me to do and his will and his vision because he's in control, not these other people. These people are temporary. And what they, you know, what I go through here, if I have to suffer, that's fine. I'm doing it for God. And it's like, that's okay.
Do you find it interesting or perplexing maybe how people are so they're not worried about the consequences of not paying attention to God, but they're worried about the consequences of not doing what the Biden family or what the government tells us to do. You know what I mean?
Well, it is perplexing, but when you understand it's because in their perspective that is their God, they're thinking like, okay, this person, they're at the top of the chain. I could like lose my job. I mean, they did in 2020. People lost their jobs because, you know, they wanted to even people that are on the right, but not necessarily people who believe in God. They're like, okay, well, I don't like the government, but because I don't believe in anything higher than it's like, they're like, well, they kind of are my God. And so it's like, all right, well, I kind of have to do what they say. But when you have the perspective that, no, there is a God that actually rules over everyone who's morally just, it's like, okay.
From the News Radio 11.
Hold on. I got you.
Then they're like, what was my thought? They're like, well, I have to follow them because the consequences are going to be bad if I don't, essentially.
So have your relationships healed between you and your friends who didn't agree with the pandemic and you? Or?
Honestly, I never really – everyone who shut me away, I haven't really, like, reconnected with. But the ones who, like – you know, I have – a lot of my friends actually got vaccinated. And it's like, you know what? That's your choice. And actually, some of them didn't even want to, but they're under 18 and their parents made them. So it's like, you know what? I don't care if you wanted that and you feel better about it. Great. I just care that, you know, we're actually friends and what my opinions aren't going to like stop us from being friends.
So Erica wants to know, as a younger adult, Darian, how does your perspective and recent experience inform you what you want to do with your life?
That is a great question. I have a great answer for you.
I knew you would.
So ultimately, I've kind of been getting into one, gardening is something that's really interesting to me, but also alternative systems and how to get away from the government, because when you're not reliant on them, you're pretty much free as a bird. And so I'm working with my dad who's starting up his own business, and I'm going to just try to live an alternative lifestyle. Like, I want to get a property out in the country. I want to learn how to, like, I'd love to do solar power or wind generation, you know, anything to create my own power so I'm not on the grid. And then growing my own food, raising animals, so that I can hopefully be as least dependent on the government as possible. I don't know exactly how I'm getting there. I'll say that. But at minimum, I would like to buy a property, and that's kind of what I'm working towards.
So was that a goal prior to the pandemic, or is that surfaced because of, or was it there, but this really showed you this is the way? Not that I necessarily, yes, I want to go this way, but I kind of have to go this way.
I don't know, because honestly, like, so my freshman year is 2019, right before the pandemic. And so cut in there. And then I was like, I was an atheist at the time. I was a little bit more on the conservative side, but when the pandemic happened, that's when, you know, my relationship with God started growing. And so,
how'd that happen? What was the,
well,
what was this?
I went down to my grandparents, well, I guess up, they were in Hillsborough area. And I just went for the week, cause that's something I used to do all the time. And I was like, I want to do it again. And then I just, and my, a lot of my family is Christian. So it's just like, I want to believe, I genuinely do, but I just don't. So they're like, they're trying to help me, you know, give me things to think about. And so one night I just asked God, I was like, hey, I want to believe in you. Show me that you exist. And everything just kind of started coming into place. Like now that I was actively looking for God, I was like, oh, wait, I can see this in here. And I'm drawing these connections. And it just made me start to like understand the way all this COVID stuff was happening. It's like, okay, I can see these people are doing these things because of it. And it's like drawing these connections. And so that's kind of what turned me like super against the government. Like I didn't like it, but it all kind of happened at once. And I was like, okay, everything's starting to make sense. I'm like, I was here. Now I'm like way over here. And that started getting me to think, well, I don't want to be dependent on the government like all these other people. So how can I avoid that? And that's kind of what led me to the alternative lifestyle of like being off grid or as close to off grid as possible and all that kind of stuff.
So do you consider yourself, and I use this in a positive way, a weird kid?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, no doubt.
Somebody, Sharon says, this young man is a very good person and responsible. His parents did a good job raising him and a man of God. So yeah. What was God something that, were you looking for trust at this point? And you knew you couldn't trust the government. You knew you couldn't trust the governor of Oregon. You couldn't trust your school leaders. Everybody was, I mean, you obviously trusted your parents because they were on the same page with you.
Yeah, they made sense.
But what was that? Did you just feel like God was saying to you, you know, Darian, you don't have to do this?
I mean, honestly, I think it started like at the very beginning of my freshman year. It started with the kind of the separation of me and my like peers. Cause I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'm weird, but like everyone at my school is weird. So it's like, but I'm weird in a sense that they don't like I don't fit in a place where people go because they don't fit in other places. Like it's a subset. And so I think that's when I started to realize, I was like, okay, I know like having these opinions is okay. I mean, it's like, they just make sense. And so I'm like, okay, I think I'm leaning to something bigger here because all these people just want to like shut me out. Once they like learn what I think, they're like, I don't really want to be friends with you. And I'm like, okay. And then, you know, the COVID stuff happened and yeah, I would just say like, I was looking for, I mean, I think really the motivator at that time was the fear of death, not from COVID, but it just kind of hit me. I was like, every night I would try to go to sleep and I couldn't stop thinking about what's going to happen when I die. And maybe that was subconsciously a little bit afraid of COVID. I don't know if, cause at the time it was pretty early on when COVID was happening. I was like, the first time I was exposed to the COVID narrative, any of it was, I was on Twitter in like 2019 and I saw these sirens going off, like a video in China, sirens going off. So in my head, I was like, okay, now I'm a little bit worried because that's the first thing I saw. And then as my parents kind of talked me through it and we just kind of kept going forward, I started to be less scared, but still that fear of death kind of hung on me. And that's what I was looking for, is like, okay, how can I assure myself that like when I die, things are going to be okay. And so that's really what led me to search for God. But then everything kind of came together. Like I said, at that kind of in July, I think it was 3 years ago now, it's like, it just, everything was like, I need answers. I need someone that is not going to disappoint me, who's not going to let me down, because they're just, everyone in life will do that in some way or another.
You know, I remember when it first happened, it was, you know, everybody, we all took it seriously, but I kept, the more people started panicking and the way they were talking, it was really weird because I had this very liberal business coach and she and I ended up splitting ways. And part of it was because of, I'm sure, of my stance, but it was like the very topic of discussion in the fall before the pandemic hit in January, February was not to fear and how fear brings on horrible things. And I was going, I'm getting a lesson in fear. The world is now showing me what happens, and they're panicking and everybody's going, hide, hide, you know, just stay inside. Don't go any, don't talk to people, stay. And I'm going, none of you can't hide from a virus. You can't stop something. And plus we need to be around each other to get over this. You know what I mean? Our bodies are created to do this. So none of it made sense to me. And I'm going, oh my God, the only common denominator is fear. Mm-hmm. These people that are going for this, and now I would say falling for this, are not that the virus wasn't real. I've never said that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our response was over the top. Oh, and yeah. As I'm reading now information, just ridiculous. And that people can't see that, I am shocked. And it just shows you the power of ego and arrogance, I think, that you can't let go of something. And yet you're so trapped. And we all do that in certain things. You know what I mean? Right. Whether it's alcohol addiction or drug addiction. This is like culture was almost addicted to this fear because it made them feel value or something. I don't know. Do you think that's weird?
Yeah. Well, actually, to your point about that, the whole, like, I mean, I definitely learned about how ego is, I mean, kind of the drive of all of this. But I was going to say about people will feel comfortable in their fear and in their, like, in their bad habits. And so rather than, like, challenging themselves, their own ego and all of that, they're just like, no, it's more comfortable for me to sit here, even if they might know that they're wrong, they just accept it because they're used to it. It's right. Just normal for them.
Don't you think it's kind of a form of control too? Because people like to control their environment. We all do.
Yeah.
But if I can control this, then I'm not going to die or I'm not going to do this. And I think that's when you mentioned that was me for me. That was me and my wife. I'm going to die sometime. And if this is going to kill me, at least I'm going out on my own terms. I am not going to go out being some little hiding in my car, you know, with three people in the car wearing a mask or riding down the road in a motorcycle with a mask on, when obviously that doesn't make any sense scientifically or biologically right. or anything.
Right.
It was almost better to die than it was to live in the tyranny.
Oh, me. Yeah. Well, and the thing that frustrated me first, because it's like Anthony Fauci at the very beginning said masks don't even do anything. And then people just ignore that when he changed the narrative like right. a week or two later. Like, what? Who does that?
Right. So. Wouldn't you go, wait a minute, though. 2 weeks ago you were saying this. But see, that's where fear was so blinding, I think, because it became just do what they say, because if you don't. And, you know, and then when you would go back in history, and I won't mention the time because Facebook really shuts you down for that one. But when you bring up the N-word and you go, how, because I think, you know, I've seen movies and you go, how did people fall for that? And then now I will never ask that question again. Because it was just, it's the same thing playing over again. We use fear. They're the bad people. Those people there, because they're not like us, they're bad and they're not doing what we're doing and we're trying to help people and they're bad. And it's like, it's the same message. And it's unbelievable that, you know, I've often said in little blogs, I say, you know, when I'm 80, if I still am alive, and I hope I am, there'll probably be a documentary on this time. And it'll probably be one of those documentaries. Yeah, and it'll be one of those documentaries where young people are going to go, how did they fall for that? And you're going to stand there and go, yeah, we were there. I watched this happen. And to me personally, as a really big free speech guy, because I was a journalist, that is what am I afraid of? That, the reaction, that it's that easy to get people on board something like that. You have to know government leaders going, oh, now if we want to do this, here's how we could really do that. Because they saw how easily we folded as a culture, as a world, you know?
Yeah. I think it's like, I think looking at it from the perspective of like history, it's like people are gonna be like, well, how could anyone have gotten on that side? But there's something that Jordan Peterson said on Joe Rogan's podcast that I really like. I'm going to paraphrase it, but he talks about like taking an inch at a time, just a little inch. And eventually they're like right up next to you and they have control of you. And this is the frustrating thing. I've tried to explain this to so many people. It's like, I've had discussions with my uncle and stuff before. And I was like, okay, this is like free speech is under attack right now. And he's like, well, not really. And I'm like, yeah, but look at these little things they're doing. They're just like, you know, they're trying to ban or get people to stop saying certain things. He's like, well, but that's not really free speech being banned. And I'm like, but you have to be aware of what leads to these things. That's why you have to look back in history, because it's just like, they're going to take an inch at a time, and then they're going to be, oh, and then finally you'll, when you actually like realize it, they're right next to you and free speech is gone, or whatever it is, whatever right. You know, you're talking about.
What I find fascinating too, is people say stuff like, well, but that's, you know, that's hate speech, or you're doing this. Well, what about when it's against you? So what are you going to do? There's that old saying, you know, they came after the Jews and I said nothing. They came after somebody else, another group of people. I said not black. I said nothing. What happens when they came after me? There was no one to stand up for me. And I think that's the scary thing, and how quickly people dismiss you because you have a different opinion. And what I found really interesting, Darian, I got was people went, I remember I used to really like you when you were on the news, da 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 da. That was back when pre all of this, when the whole world didn't go crazy. I'm the same guy.
Yeah.
The same belief system. It's just you forced me to, well, nobody forced me, but you made it so uncomfortable. To me, I'm more fearful of losing my voice and not being able to speak the truth as I see it than I am of ever dying or getting yelled at or somebody scorning me because I don't agree with them. And my emails are littered with nasty, awful comments from people who, I have a former friend, and he started calling my clients, my sponsors, and telling them that they should stop sponsoring me because I was spreading misinformation. And he's a professor at the University of Oregon.
Wow.
And that is some kind of hate. Yeah. When you will go after someone's living to destroy them for misinformation that wasn't, turns out now it's not misinformation. And Darian, even if it was, what the hell? How much would I have to hate? I can't imagine ever having the anger to do that to somebody, you know, to really like think I'm taking you down.
Well, to follow through with it. I mean, it's like, I can understand people get angry and they have like thoughts and they think about it. I'm like, no, okay, I'm a sane person. I'm not going to do this. But then to actually go through with it is, yeah, it really shows people's character. People will go low. And I think that's something that COVID showed us.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
like, people are like, oh, like the whole like lack of community, like people just, they would not even their neighbors or their family. They're like shaming people for going and having Thanksgiving with their family. It's like, come on.
They were calling the police on their neighbors if they saw four or five cars in the driveway. How different is that as turning in people in Germany? I mean, it's not. Right. And yet they, yeah, don't see it. They act like this is no big deal. You know, I mean, and I'll add one more little caveat to this former friend of mine. I met him because we used to go to church together. So he's a Christian. I'm not sure in the Bible it says anywhere where Jesus says, if someone disagrees with you, kick their ass, take them down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that's real scriptural, but I don't have a lot of faith in some of that anyway. So what do you love about God?
I think the thing that for me is the most, the freeing part is just that, you can, actually, I've learned this from being exiled. It seems, maybe that's an extreme word, but like, you know, not fitting in with a bunch of groups. I'm like, okay, even online communities, I try to like make friend groups or in school or whatever else. I just noticed that everyone's like against me because I said one thing, I had one opinion that they didn't like. And the more I started to realize, it's like, you know, I can be like, you told me, I think you described it as like a fence, you know, there's animals and they're kind of in the middle and then you're kind of out on the outside and you can like jump over the fence. And there's this whole other way of existing without trying to conform to what other people think. And I think to me, that's the most important thing, is like being able to really think about things and have that, that freedom, and the security of like, you know, this isn't wrong. This is okay. to be different from everyone else, because, you know, we're all made in God's image. And, you know, as long as we're following, you know, the Ten Commandments to the best of our abilities, like we're chasing after what God wants and we're trying to listen to him, then it's like that's really the important thing. So it's like I have the comfort, I suppose, with him and not having to worry about getting that from someone else. And sometimes it does get lonely not having people, you know, to talk about things with, but I can talk to God and I'm like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. I know most other people aren't going to agree with me, but I know it's right. And that's,
you can call me anytime.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I thought about messaging you more often, but I'm like, oh, he's probably really busy. It's like, don't want to bother him.
No, not for you. You just text me and ask me questions and stuff if you want. You know what I kind of love about God, the pandemic really honed in on this thing for me, is that he did create me weird, and he created me with this. This is what I'm supposed to do for now. This is my thing. It's not some mission. It's not some ministry. It's Rick Dancer's life. And there's going to be people that hate me because they hate him. And they're going to come after me. But what's so amazing is to sit here and have a conversation with you. And I hear the story that I told you. I didn't know that impacted you. But to know God was taking that story from me and putting it into you to give you the courage to go do what you got to do. And we're not trying to take over the world. We're trying to give freedom to the people around us who we love and or loved. And, you know, none of what I was doing, I don't expect an apology. I always throw that out there because I think it's funny how people just forget. Oh yeah. All the times. Remember the mean things you said to me, you know, because you were wrong. Well, but you know, at the time, but you took that and you got my friends fired from the hospital.
Yeah.
And they no longer had a career and they had to figure out how to start over again. And you did that because you agreed with Peace Health and other hospitals who did the same thing. And what I find interesting too, is how many of those hospitals can't find employees now, and they fired how many people, and now so they caused their own problem, and now they find out that the administration was probably thwarting any kind of alternate information medically coming out, ignoring other studies, and you fell for it. You fired your work staff for not doing this, and now you're in a big shithole.
Yeah. I think ultimately it's the one thing. Another big thing I've learned from God is that, you know, love does heal all. And it's like, once I've started to have these connections, even with people I really disagree with, when I came back from my senior year at my school, I started talking to these people and I got politics out of the way. We just didn't talk about it. Like, just on an individual level, like, okay, let's just have a real conversation. And that's when I felt probably what I would call the happiest in my life. It's just like when I'm having deeply personal connections with people and we're looking at how we can improve our lives and, you know, things to try and things to avoid, and really just taking care of each other. I think that's how, you know, we can heal as a nation. But unfortunately, a lot of people just, they're so divided. It's like, I mean, just like, for example, like, I really like Joe Rogan's podcast because it's just he will let on anyone, you know, because it's like he just wants to have that conversation. And that's I think people subconsciously, a lot of people consciously and a lot of people subconsciously are like, that's what I need, that's what I crave. And they're like, they're getting to that point where like they want to have conversations with people because they're like, they're listening to these people, like people who are totally different. And they're like, well, hey, look, they can be friends. They can have conversations. And so I'm hoping more people will start to do that. And I'm trying to do that with everyone. Just like, hey, let's have a conversation. And that's how I've kept my friends. The friends that I still have to this day are the people that would talk about things and would just let me have my opinions. And we could, at the end of the day, just be friends based on, you know, our interests or whatever else, because we care about each other. And it's not about getting mad at each other for believing one thing that, you know, is disagreeable.
Because it's all going to go away, but relationship is what sticks together.
Right. Yeah. And material items, who cares? It just, I mean, we could all just be sitting around a campfire, and it's like, you know, that to me is really special. It's like, and I want to continue to do that throughout my whole life. It's like, I just want to communicate, and I want to be able to share the joys, the good things that God has made, instead of focusing on, you know, all the evils and the materialism and all that. It's like, yeah, cool things are cool, but like ultimately connection is what we're here for. And that's, I think, the thing that people failed to realize during the pandemic. It's like, they're really unhappy themselves, the people that were pushing the narrative, because they're like, well, I need connection with people, but I'm going to pretend like it doesn't bother me because of their ego. And it's sad.
Right. And it's what was interesting early on to me is the best way to overtake people is to separate them. So you divide them and you push them out, and then you conquer them. And that's what takes it. And I think you're right. That's a great place to end this conversation. This part, we'll have another one though, but to end this conversation is, we really need to start bringing those things back together. The information's out there. And if people don't want to listen or have that conversation, there's somebody on the other side that will. So keep moving, yeah. Keep moving from person to person. You go and, you know, let God put people in your life that you're supposed to connect with. Right. And the people that the trolls and the people who are just out to get you angry, I have to remind myself of this so often. Just don't respond. Just leave it alone. It's not. Yeah. Give us a last word.
I just want to say, I just want to say first, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
It's really great. And I hope you're okay with me plugging one thing just in case people want to find me and have conversations.
Completely okay with that.
Okay. I am trying to start a media business, cause I'm into photography and videography. So you can find me on Instagram at Darian_Gorman_Media Services. And also, I have a personal one with my music stuff. It's called Scythe.sc. That if you want to reach out to me, just to have a conversation, it doesn't have to be about, you know, the media services. If you just want to talk, I would love to make connections with new people. So that's where you can find me.
So it's Darian_Media_Services.
Darian_Gorman_Media Services, no space. I can write it in the chat here.
Okay, yeah, put it in the comment section, okay?
Media services, right there. And then the other one is that one. But yeah, anyone wants to have a conversation, feel free to message me.
All right. Darian Gorman, thank you so much for having that conversation. The lightning tried to stop us, but we got through anyway.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Rick. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. I'll talk to you later. Now, is that a great kid or what? Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what we want to hear. Just a normal conversation. And just people's opinions and ideas. That's we can do that again. Okay, so we want to thank our sponsors, and then I'm going to have Bill London. He's going to come on and give you some local news. So Albert Taylor, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, Chris Dental Family Dentistry, Fairway Independent Mortgage, Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. And I've got to get BS Free MD on here, so I'll grab them. So we'll hear them right after Bill. Here's Bill London with your news.
From the News Radio, 1120 AM and 93.7 FM, KPNW Studios, I'm Bill London. This look at the news brought to you by Dr. Michael Brathland of Chris Dental, where they'll see anybody. They'll even see me. Well, but I have to go in through the back door. All right, here's a look at the stories we're following. You probably have heard that law enforcement officials found cocaine at the White House over the weekend. You can tell this administration is old. If it was a younger administration, it'd be meth or fentanyl. Anyway, one official familiar with the investigation has cautioned the source of the drug was unlikely to be determined, given that it was discovered in a highly trafficked area of the West Wing. It was actually within the West Executive Basement entryway into the West Wing, where a lot of people have authorized access, including staff or visitors coming in for West Wing tours. So when asked the chances of finding the culprit, the Secret Service official said it's going to be very difficult for us to do that because of where it was. And it'll be particularly difficult if it was Hunter, because none of us want to lose our jobs. The Greater Idaho Movement to expand Idaho's border to include most of central and eastern Oregon because of the divide between that part of the state and Oregon's elected leadership, now has competition from Greater Oregon. Chief petitioner of the Political Action Committee, Blue Fortner, says his group doesn't want to move the border, but instead encourage a healthier conversation with state officials in Salem. Well, conversation would imply that somebody's going to actually listen in Salem. Group members say that they like Oregon and they don't want to leave Oregon because they, and these are the reasons, they don't want to lose PERS. They don't want to lose the higher minimum wage in Oregon or Oregon's renter protections, and they like the way Oregon does things. Oregon students headed to a state university for the first time this fall are going to see yearly tuition and fees between $10,000 to $16,000. Each one of Oregon's seven public universities increased their tuition this year. The University of Oregon is going up 4.1% to an average of $15,666 a year. It's the most expensive state university in Oregon, while OSU's tuition comes in at number two, but it's still quite a bit cheaper. They went up 4.2%, and they'll be averaging about $13,800 a year. Well, from the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they ruled that a law in Oregon that prohibits the recording of individuals without their explicit consent is unconstitutional as it violates the First Amendment. The decision came after James O'Keefe, the former CEO of Project Veritas, filed a lawsuit in Portland 3 years ago, arguing that the law in Oregon violates the U.S. Constitution, particularly in the context of undercover investigative journalism. The ruling specifically pertains to Oregon Revised Statute 165.540, which prohibits obtaining or attempting to obtain conversations in whole or in part through any device without the informed consent of all parties. Circuit Judge Sandra Ikuda from the Ninth Circuit in Pasadena drafted the opinion, stating that Oregon lacks a compelling interest in protecting conversational privacy in public places from individuals exercising their right to free speech, even if it involves audio or visual recordings of others. Ikuda further explained that the law in Oregon amounts to a content-based restriction that violates the First Amendment, rendering it invalid. Regarding a prior decision by Judge Michael Mossman, O'Keefe said that it is hereby overturned and overruled. Well, the same 9th U.S. Circuit Court Wednesday refused to rehear a three judges panel ruling that prohibited the city of Grants Pass from criminally punishing homeless people who sleep in public places when they have nowhere to go. The denial of a full court review by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals prompted unusually scathing dissents and statements by 16 other 9th Circuit judges who either blasted the original decision and urged it be corrected or argued that at least the full court be given the chance to reconsider all of it. Many who dissented argued that the Grants Pass ruling created a confusing set of rules based on a flawed interpretation of the Constitution and made the court's judges into inappropriate, and I'm quoting them, homeless policy czars. The original ruling placed a, quote, straitjacket on West Coast cities, according to the dissents, that are now left with little recourse to deal with an insurmountable and widespread rise in homelessness, according to the dissenters. In response, the two judges who made up the majority opinion on the three-judge panel defended their denial of a full court review and stood by their underlying opinion and claimed that those criticizing it had mischaracterized it. How? Highlighting the significant division among the Ninth Circuit Court, active and senior judges, a lawyer representing the city of Grants Pass said, "We'll see you at the U.S. Supreme Court." All right, well, this look at the news has been brought to you by Dr. Michael Bratland. Still, he still does this. Anyway, Rick, you better get real.
Week, we have some great stuff on our podcast coming out today, which is Thursday, is our usual show. We have fun financial tips, tricks, and don't do as we did, where we share some of the things we did and didn't do. Thanks. Yeah. So Daniel Wren, who is a financial, Peony financial planner and has a financial company, comes on our show. And actually, it's a two-part series, some really good stuff in depth. So,
like how to teach your kids about finances.
So that's what's coming out Thursday. We also have Truth Bombs, which are our Wednesday short podcasts that come out, and sign up for our newsletter, Truth Serum. Check out our website, bsfreemd.com, because the sign-up link is there. And you get extra fun tidbits of insight about our life, photos, and some little truth bombs that we drop in there now and then too. So,
and be sure to join them on Wednesday nights for Docktails and Cocktails. It's a new show that Tim and May are doing. It follows this right at 6 o'clock on all your social media. And you can find BS Free MD on any Spotify, all those regular channels like that. I want to thank Darian for having the guts to come out and just talk like that. I'm going to go back and edit this because of that big hole from the storm. I'll edit it and then repost it on some other stuff so people can watch it there as well. So you'll see the eternity, because I'm afraid people will miss that middle section of 3 or 5 minutes, whatever it was. So you guys, yeah, remember, I think Darian has some great information. And I think what I got the most out of that little conversation is go find people who want to heal and ignore the people who don't. There's a lot of people out there that just want to keep making waves, and maybe it's time to just go find some people to make peace. We'll see. We can only hope. Share this on your page if you would. Let other people know what was going on in that conversation. And the big thing will be, will this outlast? We'll see how Facebook and Instagram really are when it comes to censorship. I have a feeling I know the answer. All right. Won't have a show tomorrow night. We'll be back next week. Full shows from here on out. We just had some stuff going on. I've had to make some choices to be around family more than you guys at this point. So those are good things to have to do once in a while. All right. See you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend. I'll be working here tomorrow, but we'll be planning for your shows for later on. See you later.